We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Hey, David is off today, so you're stuck with me solo. And, you know, I've been doing this a long time. Some people would argue, yeah, too long, bozo. But this is truly one of those topics where I believe, and I don't believe this about a lot of shows. You know, I'm the guy who usually says if you want to find out how much impact you make on the world in media, put your foot in a bucket of water, take it out, and look at the bucket of water. That's about how much impact you make on the world in media. And it's just it's a fact of life. Sometimes we're entertaining, sometimes we're fun, sometimes we're serious. And this just happens to be serious, and it's something about which I feel very, very passionately. And I feel passionately about it because so many people are dying because of heroin laced with fentanyl. And so many people out there are hooked on heroin that it almost beggars belief. And it crosses all socioeconomic strata. It's not a black thing. It's not a white thing. It's not a Puerto Rican thing. It's not an Asian thing. It's a human thing. And we're all losing children. We're all losing friends. We all know people who have lost friends to heroin, in particular, the heroin that is mixed with fentanyl. And this presents a rare opportunity. And I try to do this about three times a year when David is off. This provides a rare opportunity to talk with people whose lives have been directly affected by what is generically, and I don't like this title, it's generically called the opioid crisis. And the reason I don't like calling it the opioid crisis, and I prefer to call it the heroin crisis, is the wakes I have been to because of narcotics have not been because of oxycodone, they've not been because of hydrocodone, they've been because of heroin. And specifically, it's been because of A, too much heroin that is high grade, or heroin that is mixed with fentanyl. And there is no such thing as good heroin. And when you call in today as a parent, as a loved one, as a sister, a brother, as you call in as an addict, you will be entering a no judgment zone, okay? No judgment. I'm sorry, I've seen too much of this world to cast any judgment on people who get hooked on heroin. I don't know the allure. I'm kind of curious as to what got you into it in the first place, but more importantly, how you got out of it. Because if you're still alive and with us, you had to make a choice that A, you had a problem, B, you needed help with that problem, and C, you got rid of the Jones, you got rid of that monkey on your back. And I know a few people, and I'm not going to recommend this because I'm not a doctor and I'm not a lawyer and I'm not a nurse and I'm not a psychotherapist. I'm none of those things. I do know some people who have managed to beat heroin on their own. Those people are far and few between. When I say some people, we're talking about not even half a dozen people do I know who have beat heroin on their own. But I will tell you something. I give them a lot of credit and I give them a lot of respect. And I know some of you are saying, well, how about respect for the people who never tried it? Well, absolutely. It's out there. It is a tremendous temptation for some people. It's something that I'm not going to understand. Some drugs, I understand what the attraction is. I understand what the appeal is. Heroin is something I don't understand what the appeal is because it's like, okay, I might die or I might get high. And it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. 803-0930 is the phone number, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And as I am speaking, if this show is resonating with you because of circumstances with your friends, your family, your loved ones, I can only make this show work with your call. Because if it's just me, I've never done heroin, so I cannot tell you what it is like. I cannot tell you how a heroin addict thinks, okay? But you can. And you probably have a lot more answers than I've got. I've got more questions than I've got answers. But if we just don't talk about this, it's never going to get any better. So hopefully just talking about it is a step in the right direction for some people listening to the program. 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Here is, again, Declan on a cell phone whose sister was hooked on heroin, and she finally got off of it after she was busted for ripping off somebody's debit card at the store. And when he got the phone call from his sister, he was more happy that she had gotten arrested and that it wasn't the other phone call you're likely to get from police or the authorities, which is one of the most gut-wrenching, devastating calls a parent or a loved one can ever, ever receive. So, Declan, you want to pick up the story from there?
Yes, I was embarrassed when I got that phone call. I mean, it is embarrassing, but I really thought, I mean, a lot of things had occurred in the you know, like a two-week time span, and I really thought she was, you know, soon to be exiting the world. And, you know, it was a relief. And another thing that made it relieving is because I knew she, you know, more likely was going to be arrested. I mean, she was looking at a felony charge, and I thought, you know, this is maybe your only way to get off of heroin, to get off of drugs in general. And, you know, it took a long time. I mean, court was adjourned a couple times for her. She ended up getting into a program. That was kind of her rock bottom. And I will say I am proud of her. She did it on her own. She got in the flagra before it was mandated, before it was court ordered. And, I mean, she's still going. She's still going to counseling. My wife and I have gone a few times with her, and it's really helped. It's helped her understand our kind of our point of view and everything that happened, and it helped us understand, you know, why she did what she did and where she was coming from with the way, you know, I had made her feel at times. And, you know, right. I'm not saying that I'm to blame for her drug addiction, but it's tough. No one really knows how to handle it. You don't know how to talk to somebody that's using drugs, or, you know, seeing her hurt my mother, you know, emotionally, and or from stealing from her, and just everything she was kind of putting the family through. I had a lot of resentment, but we through counseling have made sense of it. And, you know, we've put a lot of things in the past, and things are a lot better now. I mean, it's still a struggle for her. She's still getting her life back together, but you know, she's really done pretty well, and we're really proud of her.
You know, Declan, one of the things about drugs is that nobody does drugs because they make you feel bad. Drugs give you a false sense of euphoria depending on what drug you happen to be taking. I would imagine that the most difficult part of her long-term recovery is just that, the long-term, and thinking that she's gotten it beat, and that attitude of, well, you know, just doing it once isn't going to hurt anything.
Well, and that's true, and that's a very difficult thing, and that's something we discussed in therapy, and it was really, we both had a breakthrough. I mean, the time she's quit before, she's relapsed, and, you know, it was something that she didn't realize. I had said to her, like, you know, if you came to the family and said you had relapsed, we'd do everything we could to help you, but when you try to hide it, and you lie, and you know, you get back into your old habits, that's really a lot harder. It's not always been the fact that she's used. It's what she's done, what she's using. And
Oh, yeah.
But she was really surprised when I said, you know, if you came to us and said, hey, I relapsed, I need help, we'd get you help. She really thought that, you know, we would turn her away. And that
you'd be disappointed in her, that all of your love, all of your support, all of your guidance didn't amount to anything, and that could be very embarrassing for somebody who's hooked on heroin.
Yeah, and you know, we actually discussed with her counselor that if she were to relapse, you know, I said, could she come back here? You know, would you guys do everything you could to help her? And we certainly would. So we kind of have a plan if that were to happen. And, you know, I hope it doesn't, but I think, you know.
We all do.
And, yeah, and it's good to let her know that, hey, we, you know, we love you, and we'll support you, and we'll be there for you.
Declan, in a million years, did you or your family ever think that you would be dealing with heroin addiction in the family?
No, we never did. You
yep.
know, my mother is a school – well, she's retired now, but she was a school teacher. You know, my dad had a really good job. He's retired. And, no, we never – I mean, my parents were divorced, but I never thought this would happen. And, you know, I don't think my sister ever thought she'd go down this path. She's really intelligent, and, you know, she's really did good in school. She graduated a year early, and,
Wow.
You know, she was at college for a while, and when her addiction, you know, didn't keep her from going to school, she did really well.
Well, Declan, I'm very happy that you called. I'm very happy that your sister is getting her life back together, and I'll certainly pray that she continues to get her life back together, because heroin is just, you know, it's a one-way ticket, and it's a one-way ticket not just for the addict, but it's a one-way ticket for everybody that cares about you. And I don't care how addicted you are to heroin or whatever, but today we're talking about heroin. There are still people in the world who love you who will do anything in the world they possibly can to help you get out of that. And thank you very much, Declan, for the call, and my best to your family.
Okay, thanks, Tom.
And like I said, this is one of those shows where it's tough to do, but I'm going to drive home tonight feeling like I did as much as I possibly could in my professional role in society to at least keep the discussion going. And you know what? This is going to sound like a liberal cliche, but if just one person is able to overcome the embarrassment of asking for help and gets clean as a result of this show, I will consider this show to have been a success. If one family knows that they're not going to have to bury somebody in their 20s because of this show, I will feel as though I've done some good for society. So thank you so far for all the calls. When you call in, by the way, either on behalf of yourself or a family member, this is a no-judgment zone. It is a judgment-free zone. Don't worry about being judged. Nobody's going to judge you. I recognize that heroin addiction is a big problem across the United States. I recognize it is a big problem in our community. And I also know, and I've said this a few times before, but our U.S. Attorney J.P. Kennedy takes this very, very seriously. And woe betide the dealer who is a merchant of death, whose wares end up costing the lives of clients or customers, because the U.S. Attorney will put his entire weight of that office behind making sure that you never have a chance to do it to somebody again. And what a, you know, and just from a practical point of view, what a stupid business model. Why in the world would you sell something to somebody knowing that A, it's laced with fentanyl, or B, that it is of a higher purity than they're used to getting from you? You should at least give somebody a heads up so they know exactly what they're putting into their body. But why would you kill off your customer base? That never made any sense to me. Like, hey, try mine. Of course, you're only going to be a one-time buyer, but try mine. Makes no sense from a business point of view whatsoever. Here is Joanne in Amherst on WBEN. Joanne, welcome to the show.
Hello. Yeah, I agree totally with you and the last caller. It's a family disease. And addiction and heroin especially is cunning, baffling, and powerful left untreated. I kind of disagree with the epidemic thing, because you can be treated for addiction. You know, I think, and you were just talking about a lawmaker, maybe the lawmaker should look into, this is just from my side, I've got it in my family, I've had sobriety one day at a time for 17 years.
So were you once caught up in the heroin web of addiction?
Not the heroin web, but, the alcoholism web, but I would have done anything. It was just a matter of time.
Wow.
My daughter has touched the other side.
Well, you know, you do hit on a point. Addictive personalities can definitely run in families. And, you know, there are some people that, based on their family history, like with alcoholism, should probably steer clear of alcoholism, or at least not have it in the house because it's too big a temptation.
Oh, absolutely. But I think with the heroin, what's making it easier, besides it being readily available everywhere,
it's cheap.
And Yeah, exactly. Well, in turn, these people go to these cash doctors now to get their Suboxone, which is supposed, it takes away the cravings. If taken as directed, yes, it does help and lead to fruitful life.
Well, what you're talking about, there are, and I don't know an awful lot about this. This was explained to me once by somebody who is an attorney. There are doctors around. They typically operate out of residential areas, and they are a cash-only business, and you've got to come up with like $300 or $400 in cash, and they'll pretty much write a script for you for anything you want, as much as you want within reason, so they keep you coming back and back for more.
Yes, sir. And sometimes they don't even talk to you on a monthly basis. There is no end date. There is no prescribed counseling, outpatient, inpatient. And I've seen, because, you know, the flocks, they flock together. All they do is sell them and buy heroin. And unregulated. you talk to people who don't know anything about it, and they know about Suboxone and all of that. You know, I think the only withdrawal you can die from is from alcoholism or from benzos. You can't die from heroin withdrawal. It's a flu-like symptom for like a week.
I don't know that to be a fact, and I don't know that it's not a fact. Thank God I don't, because it is hellish. Hold on, if you would like. We're talking about the heroin situation in Western New York, and like I said, the only way this show works is by hearing from people who are related to somebody who is hooked on heroin, somebody who is currently a heroin addict, somebody who has successfully fought off heroin. If you want to tell us about the lifestyle, I'm all ears, because and just to give you a little bit of background, tragically, I have been to far too many wakes of far too many young people and maybe even some middle-aged people or people approaching middle age because they overdosed on either heroin or their heroin was mixed with fentanyl. And one of the problems with heroin, of course, is its relative cheapness in the whole spectrum of illegal drugs. It is a cheap way to get high. Unfortunately, it's also a deadly way to get high in all too many cases. And I could write a book just based on the stories I've heard from people in my circle of friends. And by the way, the circle of friends, even though it does tend to be heavily in the music and entertainment business, we're talking about people who are in every single profession, every single race, creed, religion, every single age group. It is out there. And it's obviously got to be talked about. And that's what we're doing right now. All right, David is off today, so you're stuck with just me. It's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN, kind of a breezy Tuesday. And once again, we are talking about the heroin issue in Western New York. And it's not just Western New York, it's all across the country. And this is something that is near and dear to me because, frankly, too many people I know have lost kids to heroin. And when I say kids, typically we're talking about young people in their 20s, and they've lost them to heroin. And it is it's a horrible it is just such a horrible thing for everybody who loved them and everybody who cherished them and everybody in the family and their entire circle of friends to experience. And obviously, as I said earlier, the way this show works the best is to hear from people whose families have been down the road of heroin addiction, to talk with people who are currently addicted to heroin. Don't worry, we're not going to trace your phone number. We're not going to drop a dime on you. This call is between you and me and the people who are listening in the radio audience, as well as former addicts. And I'm not so sure how the addiction thing works. I don't know if you're ever supposed to say you're a former addict or if you're supposed to own that for the rest of your life. I mean, I would argue that if you've been clean for 50 years, I think you can probably safely call yourself a former addict. But then again, I'm not in that particular field, so I have no clue what I'm talking about. But what I do understand is the pain that addiction has caused, and specifically the pain that the death can cause from heroin addiction. It's real. It's happening right here. And it's not a black thing. It's not a white thing, an Asian thing, a Hispanic thing, a Latino thing. And it's an everybody thing. And it stretches across all socioeconomic borders. It is unfortunately one of the uniters that we have as a people. And one of the issues that we brought up earlier with Joanne is that heroin, unlike some of the other drugs, I mean, weed is pretty inexpensive, but weed isn't killing people. Heroin is relatively inexpensive, and it is killing people. I mean, $50, $100 of heroin, and you'll be set up, depending, of course, on how much you use and what your body's requirements are. You know, it's not if you have a job or something where you're making a decent amount of money, you can probably hide it pretty well in terms of the expense of the heroin. It's not something like cocaine, for example, which is extremely expensive. That's pretty hard to hide. 803-0930, *930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And the real tragedy is, I mean, there's so many tragedies that go along with this, and one of them is that, you know, your first time doing heroin can be your last time. And anybody, and I said this before the news break or one of the breaks we're going to do, I don't understand the business model of somebody who is selling literal poison to people that is killing them. What possible financial reward can there be in having a client base that you are killing off? And here's something that I'm going to bring up that's a little bit controversial. Sometimes, and I don't know the answer to this, this is going to be up to you guys to give me the answer on it, but sometimes I wonder if Narcan has made it too easy for people to slip down into heroin addiction because there is this false sense of security that Narcan offers. And Narcan is only good under certain circumstances, and if you're already dead, and you've been dead for a while, Narcan isn't going to do anything for you. Narcan does not resurrect people from the dead. It can resurrect people from the near dead or from borderline death, but once you are dead, 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 there ain't nothing that is going to bring you back, and that is going to be a huge blow to your family and everybody who loves you. And I've yet to meet a dead heroin addict who didn't have people that absolutely positively loved them and who mourned just catastrophically the loss that they had to endure. One phone line open, 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. And it is Joanne in Amherst. Joanne, obviously you're dealing with a different substance abuse issue, but how many of these things that we've talked about today have crossed over into the alcohol field with which you have some personal familiarity?
I think all of them. You know, you get a sick mind when you're in addiction. And I'm just thinking how heartbreaking. You got me thinking now how heartbreaking it was to hear my daughter tested the waters there. I think it was even more heartbreaking when she told me she was going on Spox, but that's another story.
That she was going on what?
That she was going on Suboxone. I was even more heartbroken. But the thing I think people ought to know is that with support and in meetings, because when you're in it, nothing makes sense. Nothing matters. And especially if you have family enabling you, like that happens because I've done it, it makes it easier for them. And, you know, there's meetings available. They're free. You know, I hear that my daughter said she couldn't because she had a copay and whatever. No, meetings are free. You can just go in and listen. You don't have to identify. Just go listen. You can relate to everything everybody's saying.
Now, are you still doing the meeting thing? Have you sponsored anybody? What's the story of Joanne?
Absolutely doing the meeting thing. Not as much as I used to, but I'll tell you what, this stuff's sick. But for the grace of God, with Judge Farrell's help, I stood in front of him and he said, I'm going to get a year in jail or I'm sending you to rehab. And I said, I'm not going to rehab. And my lawyer pulled me aside and said, yes, you are.
So basically, that was your rock bottom? Was that your moment of clarity that made you say, yeah, I guess I'm going to rehab, and I guess I do have a problem?
And my husband was taking, in the process of taking custody of my two children.
Wow.
My job, I was on the brink of losing my job. Luckily, I had wonderful people I worked for, and they knew. They used to come to drug court with me. And thank God for drug court.
Well, I'm glad that you got the help that you needed, and I'm glad that your life has treated you well since then, Joanne. Thank you very much, and the best to your daughter and your whole family and your husband, of course.
Thank you for doing this, Tom, because it's so heartbreaking.
Well, it's one of those shows that, honestly, I will catch hell for, and, you know, nobody likes a downer show or a bummer topic, but it has to be done, and I just happen to have a passion about this because of certain life experiences with heroin that I think need to get out there.
Oh, and you can keep talking about that Narcan, because I disagree with that Narcan stuff, too.
Well, yeah, we'll see what other people have to say about Narcan, Joanne. Thanks very much for the phone call. I mean, is Narcan really, here's the thing about Narcan. It has saved lives, yes, but a little known fact is a lot of times when Narcan is administered to somebody who is in a heroin haze, they are upset with the person who gave them the Narcan because it blew their high. And when you have one person who is being Narcan literally three times in a day, I heard about a local story. That's all I'm going to tell you. A local story of somebody who is Narcan three times in one day. I wonder if it is more of a false hope for people or more of a lifesaver for people. I wonder if the net loss of life is actually greater because of Narcan than it would be without Narcan. I wonder if it would tempt people less to do heroin. I don't know the answer to that question. I just don't. But I've heard from enough first responders to know that Narcan often does not bring about the desired, you know, thank you. Hey, thanks for saving my life. It's more like, I can't believe you blew my high, man. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Here is Carly in Williamsville. Carly, welcome. You are on Bowerly and Bellavia. David is off.
Hi. I'm just calling because from a past addict, well, I still am an addict. I've been clean for about 4 years now. But I've had my brother-in-law who had died. He didn't die from heroin, but he died from a doctor negligently prescribing him something that he shouldn't ever have had. So I think that's where the problem really starts, is when doctors start prescribing young kids, we're talking 19, 20, with drugs that they just should not have.
Well, I mean, there's got to be, especially right now, doctors are under an enormous amount of pressure to not overwrite prescription narcotics. I mean, you know, I remember, Carly, maybe you can relate to this, but way back when the dinosaurs roamed the earth and I was 17 or 18 years old, I had 4 wisdom teeth taken out, and they literally gave me 30 days worth of Tylenol with codeine. I think they were called Tylenol 3s back then. And I literally took one, it knocked me on my behind, and the rest of the bottle got thrown out. And remember, this is before the opioid crisis that we know today. I had absolutely no tolerance whatsoever for that stuff, and I didn't want it around, and I told my parents I didn't need it.
Yeah, well, I'm actually only 29, so I'm a little on the younger side. So, but I do remember, I mean, I know that they've stopped now, but it's like, you know, it's a little too late. You ruined a little bit too many lives that
I'm going to argue with you here, because I think the problem now is, I think, Carly, that doctors, because of political pressure and pressure from certain groups, are too hesitant to write painkiller prescriptions for people who are genuinely in need of painkiller prescriptions. It's almost like the balance has gone the other way. And one of the most tragic stories that I've heard, the people who had their legitimate painkiller prescriptions yanked because maybe their doctor got arrested, or maybe the doctor felt the heat from the government, they had their prescription yanked. So in order to get pain relief, that's when they became heroin addicts. It's like, wait a minute, what doesn't make sense in this picture? If somebody obviously has a legitimate reason to have a narcotic painkiller, then they should have access to the narcotic painkiller.
Yeah, you're completely right. You know, I do agree with that. I'm someone who, the reason why I started taking pain pills was because I had my first son, and then after I had him, I started getting, like, all this pain. My joints were swelling. Went to the doctor. We couldn't figure out what it was. They gave me pain pills. They sent me home. And then they sent me to a rheumatologist. But for some reason, it took 3 months to get into the rheumatologist. So my primary just kept on giving me the pills. Finally, when I went to the rheumatologist, we found out I had an autoimmune disease, which causes arthritis. So technically, I could be someone who gets prescribed the medicine.
Sure. Did you end up with lupus?
Can't.
Did you end up with lupus?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, so it's just, it's been a really hard thing. And, you know, I have kids, so me and my fiance, we started using together. And it started off with the pain pills, and then next thing we know, he's going down to the west side, and he's buying heroin from some random person on the corner. So you know how you're saying, like, oh, that's not a good business model, but they know that, okay, well, this person might die, but I know tomorrow I'll probably have 3 new customers that stop me on the street.
Yeah, that is tragic. Of course, the other way to do it is, forgive me for knowing this stuff, but unfortunately, I've had to learn a lot of it for myself through stories I've heard from people. Some of the dead people whose wakes I've attended, they had their regular heroin dealer. And this was readily understandable when the cell phone records came back, that there was a regular number that kept coming up, and that was a regular dealer. It wasn't just a one and done. But Carly, I'm glad that you are on the straight and narrow. If you got something else you want to add, we'd certainly love to hear it following this break on News Radio 930 WBEN. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the heroin situation, not just in the United States, because we don't do a national show. We're talking about it right here in Buffalo and Western New York. And again, I've been to way too many wakes for people who have overdosed, either because the heroin they got was higher quality than they thought it was and they took too much, or it was laced with fentanyl. fentanyl, which is like instant death. And it's just a horrible, horrible thing. We're talking, obviously, about heroin and Western New York. And obviously, it's part of the opioid crisis. If you're just joining us, one of my pet peeves is the lumping together of the opioid crisis along with the heroin crisis. Do we have an opioid problem? Of course we have an opioid problem. Too many people are doing too many opioids for too long. But that's not generally what's killing people. What's killing people is a specific narcotic, which is known as heroin. And it's killing people because people don't know what they're getting. Oddly enough, these dealers aren't using quality control, and they're also lacing it with fentanyl, which is basically instant death. And Carly in Williamsville, Carly was telling us the story about her and her boyfriend scoring H down on in Buffalo's west side. And you hit upon a great point, Carly, and that is for every customer who dies, there are three more waiting to take his or her place. And the dealer doesn't really give a rat's you know what. Carly?
Yeah, I'm here.
Anything you want to add to that?
I just want to say, like, those people who, like to talk bad about addicts and, you know, oh, they're stupid because they tried. You know, you honestly just don't know other people's stories. You don't know if that person may have a lifelong disease that is non-curable or who wakes up and can't move for 2 hours in the morning. And unfortunately, they take one and they can't stop taking them. So I just say, like, you don't know if it will ever happen to you. It might not be you, but it might be your daughter, your granddaughter, your grandson, your niece. And
well, amen to that. And as you well know, and again, not a doctor, but as you well know, with lupus, you're going to have flare-ups. You're going to have times where you can barely move, and it's a very, very difficult thing. Fortunately, most times the disease is, you know, you have to worry mostly about the flare-ups and, of course, the long-term degeneration.
Exactly. And every day is tough, and I have three kids, and, you know, I no matter how sick I am, I still have to take care of my kids. But, you know, it's something that I've been dealing with, and I've been, like, 4 years clean now, so I'll continue to be clean.
And how's your boyfriend doing? Is he off the stuff?
He is. He, like, we were functioning addicts, so luckily he had a good job. So, yeah, it was $100 a day, but it was more like $200 a day.
For the two of you.
And yeah. He made good money. I mean, all of our money went to that. So it's cheap until it gets a hold of you, and you need so much to feel good.
Yeah, understood, because your body does develop a tolerance to it. No matter what you're putting into it, that tolerance is gonna increase, and your need for more and more is gonna increase until finally the body just can't handle it anymore and just shuts down. And you know, hopefully your liver escaped relatively unscathed, and hopefully you do, by the way, get the legitimate pain meds that you need to deal with lupus. Although you're kind of a special circumstance, I don't know how the doctors deal with somebody who used to use you know, the harder stuff, if they've got to be especially careful with you because they don't want you to relapse.
Yeah, I honestly, I just won't accept anything, you know. Most of it is inflammation, so technically anti-inflammatories can
yep.
really help a lot.
You know, it's interesting because I had after my heart surgery, I had another surgery. I won't tell you on what, but let's just say it's the most important part of a man's body, and they gave me morphine. No relief. They gave me like about three or four different things to try to kill the pain. Finally, out of desperation, I said, "Don't you have anything like a liquid anti-inflammatory?" And so that's what they gave me. And it was like, ah, finally, a non-narcotic relief for this. Thank you so much. But I'm glad you called in. Thank you for checking in, and good health to you and your boyfriend. It is Bowerly and Bellavia. David is off today on News Radio 930 WBEN. Yes, it's called a stricture, and I don't recommend anybody ever get a stricture because, man, oh, man, are they a pain in the... Well, they're a pain in the something, and I'm not going to tell you what.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.